Hello. This is the January 30th edition of the Fusion Technical Net. The Fusion Technical Net is brought to you by the Pocken Amateur Radio Society. For more information, see hamoperator.com. Good evening, everyone. This is Chuck, K0HK, and welcome to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. This net meets every Monday night in the Minnesota, Wisconsin room number 21493. This is an open technical net. Please check internet control. Tonight's net control stations are K0HK, Chuck, 800MI, Pete, K9EQ, Chris, November 0, Papa X-Ray Tango Shane, and Whiskey 4, India Oscar Delta Otis. The Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Bakken, who is the founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in radio and was the founding sponsor of the Pathetic Museum of Broadcasting. Earl allows us to use his name because he's a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Bars and Earl at www.w0mdt.com. The 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Medtronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35W in Moundsview, Minnesota. Please remember there is a chat window available at hamoperator.com. Select MinWiz and then MinWiz chat. Net control will only be taking check-ins from stations with traffic for the net. Please reply with your name, city, and state. We'll acknowledge your call and put it on the list in the order received. Right now, we're looking to see if there are any announcements for the net. If you haven't announced it, this is your chance. Name, city, state. Go ahead with any announcements.
This is Rick up in Little Falls, right about the middle of Minnesota, and 0BJN. That's November 0, Bravo, Juliet, November.
All right, November 0, Bravo, Juliet, November. Rick, Little Falls, Minnesota. I bet you there's some ham fests that need to be talked about. Go ahead.
Hi to Chuck. Chuck and everyone on the Midwinds technical mess here tonight. First off, thank you so much to you and your crew, Chris K9EQ and Otis and all the rest of them behind the scenes doing the magic and answering our questions every week here on your net there. It's just a great way to get that information out there. You're so correct, Chuck. I do have three HamFest announcements for Minnesota. The first one is the Cabin Fever Reliever St. Cloud HamFest coming up on Saturday, February 18th. It's being held at the St. Cloud National Guard Armory. The address is 1710 Veterans Drive or 8th Street North in St. Cloud, Minnesota. It runs from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Admission is $10. There'll be a VE testing at 10 a.m. There'll be hourly door prizes and a grand prize drawing. For more info on the Cabin Fever Reliever St. Cloud, Minnesota HamFest on Saturday, February 18th, check out their website. It is W0SV.club. Phonetically, that website would be Whiskey Zero Sierra Victor dot Charlie Lima Uniform Bravo. And that's for the Cabin Fever Reliever St. Cloud HamFest coming up on Saturday, February 18th. The Midwinter Madness Buffalo HamFest is coming up on Saturday, March 18th. It's being held at the Buffalo Civic Center. The address is 1306 County Road 134 in Buffalo, Minnesota. Buffalo is northwest of Minneapolis and St. Paul on Highway 55. It runs from 8 a.m. to noon. There'll be a VE testing at 7:30 a.m. They'll have door prizes and a grand prize drawing at 11 a.m. For more info on the Midwinter Madness Buffalo HamFest on Saturday, March 18th, check out their website. It is K0LTC.org. Phonetically, that website would be Kilo, Zero, Lima, Tango, Charlie.org. And that is for the Midwinter Madness Buffalo HamFest coming up on Saturday, March 18th. If I can, Chuck, I'll let the system reset. I have one more HamFest announcement for the group, so I don't time everything out. The Brainerd HamFest is coming up on Saturday, April 15th. It's being held at the National Guard Armory on Wright Street on the south side of Brainerd, Minnesota. This one's pretty easy to get to. Just take Business Highway 371 into the south side of Brainerd. And you only go a little ways into Brainerd, and Wright Street will come up on your right-hand side. And you'll go down maybe a mile, and the National Guard Armory will come up on your left-hand side. For more information on the Brainerd HamFest on April 15th up in the Brainerd Lakes area of Minnesota, stop by their website at brainerdham.org. That's brainerdham.org for the Brainerd HamFest coming up on Saturday, April 15th in Brainerd, Minnesota. Once again, thanks for being there, Chuck, every week, and thanks for letting me on. Happy to share the HamFest information for you. And we'll send it back to you from Rick in central Minnesota up here at Little Falls, 3 degrees below zero at this hour, and zero, BJS.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate being kept up to date on all the local HamFests. Is there anyone else out there with an announcement for the net? If so, give us your name, city, and state. All right, hearing none, we'll move into the check-in portion of the net. If you have a comment or a question for the net, check in now. Name, city, and state.
This is KE5UEJ. The name is Steve. I'm in Tyler, Texas.
Kilo Echo 5, Union Echo Juliet, Steve, Tyler, Texas. Go ahead with your comment question.
Yeah, thank you. I was just wondering, I've got two FTM-300s. One is my node at the QTH. And when I'm in access mode and I'm out mobile, when I'm talking, back at the QTH, only my audio is heard off the radio at the house, and when somebody talks back to me, there's no audio coming out at the house. Just is that just the way it is, or is there something I need to know?
All right, I think I'm going to send that one over to Otis. Whiskey 4, Indy Oscar Delta, over to you.
All right, Chuck, and good evening to you and everyone else on the net. And I'll see if I can help Steve out. Steve, you say you've got two FTM-300s, and I would presume that the one you have at the home QTH is set up in portable HRI mode. So before I go any further, let's make sure that we're all on the same page. Is that correct?
Yes. And instead of going rect, I hit the bottom right button and goes into a I guess that's portable HRI mode, yes.
Well, thanks for clarification, and I'll clarify that. You have two different modes in regards to setting that up when you register that 300 with Yaesu. So you registered it through the website, and they email you back a room number and a node number, and you set it up. So it depends on what buttons you're holding when you power on. So, you know, the PDN mode itself, you'll be node to node. And then if you want to connect to rooms and actually converse on the WireZX system that way, you'll be in portable HRI mode. And then you have the ability of touching the A and B button to either be direct or RF that you assign a frequency through the software. So based on what you told me, I would say that that's the way you're running that. So what happens is that the radio becomes a node radio, which means when you're talking, it's basically a transmitter when someone else is talking back to you. So it's hearing you, and everything that you transmit into it is going out on the WireZX system. However, if you're listening on the node now through your RF link to your other 300, it's transmitting the audio that it's hearing back to your radio, so no one in the shack there is going to hear anything. Does that make sense? Back to you.
Yes, it does. And, I was just asking because when I'm out and about, you know, my wife commented that she could hear me, but not the other part of the conversation. So I guess that's just the way it is.
Yes, and, you know, it's a node. It's not a repeater. So she's not going to hear both parts of the conversation because when the radio made a comment here I'll share with you, but it's one of those things that unfortunately that's the way it works because it's not a repeater. So it's just like when you key up your radio like I'm transmitting now, I don't hear anything because I'm the one talking, but that's the way it works. And Chris wanted me to add that it doesn't matter how you have the remote station set up, if it's connected to an HRI directly or not. When it's transmitting, you're not going to hear it. So he made the comment of turn the volume down. That's probably what the wife wants anyhow. But anyhow, thanks for your comments there, Chris. Steve, hopefully that answers your question. And this is W4IOD going back to net control. There you go, Chuck.
Thank you, Otis. Very good explanation, and even I understood it, so I know it had to be good. Steve, anything else you want to follow up with on that concept?
No, sir. That's all I had, and I appreciate the time and explanation. Thank you very much. KE5UEJ.
All right, great question, and as always, I'm going to say this again, I've said it before, there are always new people joining, so don't feel that any question has probably been answered 100 times. If you got it, we'll try and answer it, just because there are new people, and that's what we're here for, is to help people with Fusion Radio. So if you do have a question, give us your name, city and state, and we'll get you on. Go ahead now.
KE0YJJ, Rick, Pine Island, Minnesota, with a question.
All right, KE0YJJ, Rick, Pine Island, Minnesota, why don't you go ahead with your question?
K0ORK, K0YJJ, thank you. Good evening to the group. This has been very frustrating for me. I am running an FTM-400 to talk to my repeater that's like 6 feet away, but that's not my issue. This room is a digital-only room, and I have a monitor cable to a powered speaker plugged into my HRI 200. The output of that goes to my mixer board and I can hear it in my headphones. However, comma, that last individual and occasionally Chuck, K0ORK, I can't hear them coming through the digital node, or through the output of the radio, or the HRI 200, which I know is fully digital. My question is, why? I just, drives me crazy. If I turn my radio on, my FTM 400, everything sounds great. But I was listening to something else, so I wanted to listen to the HRI. I don't always hear what's coming over. Some people are, I know it's a digital room, but they sound like they might be in some kind of analog or whatever. I don't get it. Can you explain that, K0YJJ? Sorry for the long question.
All right, Rick. I'm sending this one off to Chris, K9EQ. Why don't you take it? K0ORK, sending it to K9EQ. Go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, you know, you said it was just, you know, it doesn't happen with all the stations. I could understand it happening with all the stations in Edmund was home. So I went through all this headache some time ago, and I believe so this is the HRI 200, so it really doesn't have anything to do with the repeater. It's just how the HRI 200 behaves. You don't necessarily get all the audio coming out of that connector, I think. I think you may get the analog, and not the digital. I don't remember exactly. It's been so long ago, so maybe somebody else knows. I do know that when I did the, the out-of-the-box repeater, which is basically a very simple way to have both an analog and digital repeater that can do simulcasting and things like that, that my solution was to rely on a receiver. I took an FT1 that I wasn't using, left it in, I forget the mode exactly, but I could be guaranteed that I was going to get all the audio I wanted coming out of that receiver. The HRI-200 is a different bit of an animal, though, because what you really have in there is the sound card. My recollection is that, as I'm rambling on here, some of it's coming back, it has to do with settings in Windows. And Windows has the ability to take audio that's coming in, like from a mic jack, and feed that back around to the audio output. And I think that might be the bit that's missing. Hard to remember. Windows is doing that for me here with my HF stuff, and I wish it didn't. So I've got the opposite problem right now. Anyway, Rick, go ahead.
Can I talk to you direct?
I've got an okay here.
Roger, roger. I just didn't want to upset Chuck. Anyways, yes, I understand what you're saying. So, like in my mixer board here, I have two sliders, one for the HRI and one for the FTM-400. If I turn the 400 down, like, for instance, your entire conversation, everything you just said, I heard over the HRI-200. But Chuck occasionally, and the last guest, so to speak, was not coming over. In fact, that's why I had to stop listening to what I was listening to and switch the radio over to my repeater to hear it. So it's just frustrating, and I know that, we've talked about this before, but it sure would be nice to solve it, or at least know, that person X is in mode Z, so I won't hear them. That's all I'm trying to figure out. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. And you know what? If all else fails, I can listen to the broadcast. Thank you very much for that alternative. I'll be sending it back to Chuck. That answers my question. K0YJJ.
All right, Rick, thank you for sending it back to me, and well, hopefully that's a good answer for you. All right, that's Chuck K0RK looking for anybody else who has comments or questions for the net. Check in now. Name, city, state. All right, looks like Otis has something for us. Whiskey 4, India Oscar Delta. Otis, go ahead, what do you got?
Well, good evening again, Chuck, and the rest of the net. Good morning to some of you over in VK land. But I'll remind folks, this is we've got one more day left in January here stateside. So these specials will be ending at the close of business, I guess, tomorrow or midnight. I don't know how that works. but still got the specials on the radios, and the repeater program is ongoing, and I'll actually post that link over in hamoperator.com MinWiz chat for folks that want to go download that PDF document. But it will be ending tomorrow here stateside. And I have noticed a difference in shipping times on the 991A for those that are still waiting on those to come in. Seems Europe, they're in stock. For us, not so much. I think DX Engineering has their next available date. I think it's around February 3rd, I think, the last time I looked. So the backlog of back orders, I guess, is getting smaller. So it's one of the things that I guess the holiday is greetings special sale is up tomorrow, so I'll run over that real quick. The FTDX 101MP, $300. The FTDX 101D, $200. The FTDX 10, $100. The 710, which is the new radio, $50. The 400s, if you can find one in stock, is still $100. The 600 is, 600R is $40, and the FT5DR is $60. Remember, that is for the United States and Canada, for the promotion in Europe, the UK. See your Yeezy dealer over there. And like I said, the repeater program runs through March 31st, $700 for DR2X without the LAN unit, and $900 with the LAN unit, and we'll post that link in the chat room. That's pretty much all we have from here this evening, Chuck, so I'll turn it back to you. W4IOD, back to net control.
Thank you, Otis. It's always good to be kept up to date on that, especially for the people looking at expanding their networks. This is Chuck K0RK with the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Looking for anybody else who has comments or questions for the net, please check in now. Name, city, and state.
This is KF0IWN, Marty, in Burnsville, Minnesota.
Kilo Fox 0, Indian Whiskey November, Marty, Burnsville, Minnesota. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is the second time I've been able to join this net, so I appreciate getting in. And the second time I've made a contact in the digital space. Last time I was getting the feedback that was a little too close to the mic and getting some extra noise in there just from being able to hear the breath. So just thought I would check back in and see if I'd improve the technique.
I would say your audio is very much better. I wouldn't mess with it at all. It sounds crisp and clear to me. So, Marty, thanks for the check-in and saying hello. And, well, we'll move on from there. Marty, have a great evening. Anybody else with a comment or question for the net? This is your chance. Name, city, state. Go ahead. K90Q, why don't you go ahead and take it?
I'm going to do a little bit of a diversion here. we were talking last week about, you know, things to do on amateur radio that are different, and trying to get some folks some exposure to HF operation, which they might not have been able to. And the point being made that if you have a technician license, you know, you can still avail yourself of quite a bit of things to do on HF. So you've got all 6 meters, and you've got 10 meters up to 28.5, and then segments of CW, the digital part of the band, and the various other parts of the band refer to your frequency allocation chart. But I wanted to mention how do you figure out some things to do? Well, one place to do that is at the ARRL. So ARRL comes out with a weekly, well, come out with a number of newsletters. They have a couple that might be of interest. Probably most notably is the ARRL newsletter. And at the end of that newsletter, they will go and list what contests are coming up. And there are going to be some links there that you go and click on them and find out more about how these things work. So if you've never been in a contest before, I mean, Field Day is like a contest. So most people are probably familiar with that. It can be a little weird. Anyway, but it is one way to make some contacts and sort of in a non-threatening way get on the air and try your stuff out. There is a contest that's going to be coming up, and it's the worldwide, what do they call it? Worldwide DX contest. And that's a contest where you can literally work 100 different countries in a weekend. I don't recall when it's coming up. I think it's March, maybe. Maybe somebody will know. Maybe you can type it in the chat room or something like that. But I mention that because it would be a good time to get set up. And literally, you don't need much. You know, just scrounge up a HF rig from somewhere, and a used one needn't be very expensive. And really, go to the hardware store, get some wire. You got some coax cable, make a 10-meter dipole or whatever band you want to operate on. It's all it takes. It'll work really well. It's hard to beat a dipole. It's nice to get it up in the air in a bit, but you know, if you can get it 15 feet off the ground, you're doing really well. So sort of along that line, I ventured into some strange territory over the last couple of days. And I happened to notice there were these stations on the air, N7W, N9W, N6W, N4W, so something is going on. And if you go to QRZ.com and type in any of those call signs that I mentioned, you'll find it's the World WRTC, World Radio Technica, WRTC is a, you know, kind of a global frequency management group or discussion, but there are some these contest stations that are on there. They're on sideband and CW, no FT8 or anything like that. But any one of those main pages, you can see they're running a program, which is really nice to keep track of all the stations that are on the air. You'll see DX spots and the latest, QSOs by those stations. You can do a search engine. They have a search engine there, and you can type in a call sign like K9EQ, and you can see the stations that I work. I discovered it, unfortunately, just about the time that was ending. But if you do go to QRZ.com and take a look at that, like I'm looking at N7W right now, you can get a little bit of what they're doing. The thing that I did that was really weird, and I'll share sometime in the future, was that I worked some stations on CW. And I know some CW, but all these guys go at 30 words a minute. I do not do 30 words a minute. I can hear CQ and stuff like that, but there you go. But I made most of my contacts on CW, if you go and look at the scores there. And what I was doing was I was getting assistance from my computer with yet another program that I was running, because I got my computer hooked to the radio so I can run all these digital modes like FT8 and Olivia. Well, one of the modes is the decoding CW. It took me a while. I'm using Ham Radio Deluxe. It took me a while to really figure out how some of the stuff works, but it actually worked. I made contact and didn't make too big of a fool of myself a little bit at the beginning there, because I didn't understand how macros worked in Ham Radio Deluxe. It's amazing how fast you can make CW contacts. 10 seconds is all it takes. It's way faster than any of the other modes, which is why it gets used so much. In fact, there's the CQ Worldwide single sideband and CW contests are late next year, starting in November or October, with the single sideband. But anyway, go to AWRL.org and you can hunt around there, get their newsletter, so you'll get a reminder every week. There is another publication that they have called On the Air OTA, and I think non-members can download that. That's a magazine that comes out every 2 months, but you know, you download it, they don't mail it to you. And I've given it to some of my ham buddies here that are, you know, they're in the DMR, and that's pretty much it. And they thought that was an outstanding magazine for somebody who's getting into it and trying to learn all these things. The QSD is, maybe not so much. You know, it's if you're really starting out on these things, On the Air OTA is a great magazine that AWRL puts out. So anyway, a little bit of a plug for the AWRL and operating on HF, and we'll be back to talk more about it. Back to you, Chuck. I'll just maybe send that. Okay, forgot. Otis, shame on you. Otis mentions another resource, which is contestcalendar.com. So you can probably remember that, and I'll put some links for this stuff on hamoperator.com. But contestcalendar.com gives you all the contests and that type of thing. Anyway, these contests can be pretty durable. You know, like they're going all weekend. I don't have time to spend all weekend of the contest. But, you know, if you want to work a bunch of states, or if you want to try working some different countries, it's a way, because part of the problem is getting on the air when the people you want to talk to are on the air. And one thing that the contests do is they tend to focus all these people and get them on the air. They've been, you know, saving up for previous weeks, getting all their stuff ready, and then they're on the air with their big antennas and stuff, which, of course, make it easier for you to work them. Chuck, back to you, K9EQ.
Thank you, Chris. And you're right. One of the hardest things about making contacts is making contacts when other people are there to listen to you. Again, thank you. We'll see if anybody else has comments or questions for the net. That wasn't quite all Yaesu Fusion, but it's definitely, with the 10-meter stuff open and playing with the C4 FM on 10 meters, lots of good things happening there. If you've got a comment or question for the net, name, city, state, go ahead.
K3FZT.
K3, F to ZT, Steve, Philadelphia. Why don't you go ahead? What do you got for us tonight?
Thanks, Chuck, and thanks everybody who runs the net. Well, tonight I'm in Naples, Florida, escaping winter weather in Philadelphia. Winter heat ends tomorrow. It is UHF and VHF simplex communication contacts and includes dedicated frequencies for C4FM contacts before making the trip down to Florida. I had a few of them. So, Google winter heat, and you can think about it for next year. That's all I've got this evening. K3FZT, portable 4, as we used to say a million years ago. This is Steve. Back to Nat.
Thank you for the heads up on that, Steve. And, well, with that, I'm going to see if anybody else out there has comments or questions for the net. Name, city, state. Go ahead now.
KF0RIK, Rick, Stacy, Minnesota.
Kilo Fox Zero, Romeo India Kilo, Rick, Stacy, Minnesota. Go ahead, what do you got for us tonight?
Yeah, thank you. Earlier, I just caught part of it, but it sounded like there was some radio specials going on. I thought I heard FT5D. I hate to backtrack, but could someone follow up with what that information was about? Thank you.
Yeah, we can do that. Otis, Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta. Can you go over your list again of the specials?
K0ORK, W4IOD. I would be happy to do that for Rick and anyone else that's interested in that. But remember, these holiday greetings special sale prices are for the U.S. and Canada only. For the folks in Europe, you need to consult your dealers there. But it ends tomorrow, Rick. So in relationship to the FTDX101MP, it's $300 rebate. The FTDX101D, it's a $200 rebate. The FTDX10, it's a $100 rebate. The FT710, the new radio, is $50 rebate. The FTM400XDR, if you can find one in stock, $100 rebate. As that radio and the FT818 have been discontinued. I haven't seen any in stock of either one of those radios. The FTM600R is a $40 instant rebate, and the FT5DR, $60 rebate. And more than likely, if they follow their habits, you won't see anything to all the HamFest start. So I'm sure Hamcation and Hamvention and all those will have their in-person instant rebate programs available, but that ends tomorrow, January 31st, 2023, here in North America. I'll cover the repeater, and I have actually put that link over in hamoperator.com under Minwiz chat. So if you need that document, it is available. The URL is available. So for the DR2X, no trade-ins accepted, $700 for the DR2X. $900 for the DR2X with the LAN unit. Chuck, I think that pretty much covers everything that I review for folks. And appreciate the question there, Rick. Hopefully that helps you out. W4IOD back to net control.
Thank you, Otis. And Rick, I would also like to say, if you don't see just the perfect deal right now, you can always wait until Xenia, Hamvention. I don't remember when it comes up. It's not too far from now, but there's always some really good radio deals that get posted there. Most of the online places will make the same price available online. So another good time to check for deals on radios at Hamvention. Just keep your eyes peeled, and well, I know Otis will let us know when it's happening. Back to you, Rick. Anything you want to add?
No, I have nothing else to add. That was a very comprehensive list, and I appreciate the quick response and return to it. Thank you all. Back to the net. I'll be on the side.
All right, this is Chuck K04K with the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net, trying to answer all things fusion. If you have a comment or a question for the net, give us your name, city, and state, and we'll get you answered in the order received. Go ahead now.
K92, have a question for the net.
All right, acknowledging Chris, K92, and Otis gave me the information on Xenia. It's May 19th, 20th, and 21st of this year, so that's when some other good deals will come up. Chris, over to you, K04K.
Okay, I'm looking to do a little detective work. And what I'm interested in are people that may have acquired the CD41 desktop charger fairly recently. And the reason I'm interested in someone who's got it fairly recently is because at one time the CD41 charger is really, well, not very good. It had a tendency to quit working from time to time due to a bit of a design flaw. And it always bothered me that I had to use a different power supply for the charger than for the radio. So the backstory on that is the standard charger for these radios and whatever wall adapters, 10.5 volts, which works nicely if you're going to charge an 8.4 volt battery. You kind of see what they were thinking there. However, in the case of the CD41 charger, the input voltage is listed as 12 to 16 volts. In the output at 600 milliamps, and the output at 8.4 volts at 600 milliamps. It doesn't take much to figure that they're turning that extra voltage into heat, and that there's probably a resistor involved. And indeed, as it turns out, the higher the voltage, the higher the current, the faster it charges. So at 12 volts, it's not charging all that fast. 15, a lot faster, which just is not what you're wanting in a drop-in charger. So I'm interested in everyone who has one to look at the bottom of it. And on the bottom of it, it will say what the input voltage range is, 12 to 16 volts, is what mine says. I'm interested if anyone out there has a CD41 that has a different voltage range specified than 12 to 16 volts, and what that voltage range is, like the voltage range now includes 10.5 volts. So anyway, Chuck, that's what I'm looking for. Anybody that's got a CD41 with the input DC voltage, not 12 to 16 volts. Cut off a little bit at the bottom. Not 12 to 16 volts. people who have one that isn't 12 to 16 volts. Kind of interested in that. K9EQ.
All right, Chris, I'll throw it out here. If you have that information, or you checked yours like I did mine, but mine is a really old one, he would like to be contacted right now. So if you have anything with a different voltage than that, please reply, and we'll take in the order received. So name, city, state, go ahead now if you've got a different voltage than what Chris talked about.
K3FZT, Steve.
K3FZT. Steve, go ahead. Might want to back off just a little bit off the microphone. You were way over modulated that time.
Thanks, Doc. Different radio. This CD41 came with the FT5D I purchased, I guess, about 4 months, three or four months after the first became available. Mine says 12 paren, 10.5 closed paren to 16 volts. I don't know what this paren 10.5 is supposed to mean. Interesting. Thank you.
K3FZT. All right, Chris asks, does it give the current requirement on the radio? I'm looking for the current requirements, if you've got that, Steve.
Current requirement is 600 milliamps, same as the output.
All right, thank you very much, Steve. Anybody else out there with different inputs for Chris? Go ahead now. Give us your name, city, and state.
K9EQ.
K9EQ, go ahead. K0, Jorge.
Okay. Yeah, he's messing with us here with the labels. So normally I could tell what they're doing from that information, but you know, usually when they change things, they want a new part number or model number. And, I mean, who knows what the difference is between the FT7800 and 7900. I mean, really. Anyway, Steve, if you wouldn't mind, next time you go and charge a battery, since you probably need to there being down there in Florida and
you know, talking a lot on the radio, maybe. Anyway, next time you charge a battery, you know, when it needs a good charge, after it's been going for a while, if you could feel the bottom of it and how warm it's getting. And I mean, if you really want to experiment, it would be interesting to know the difference between a 10.5 and a 12-volt charger. That's maybe pushing it too much, but I'd kind of like to know that. I'm trying to avoid buying one to see what they've done. You know, the things we do to help our fellow hams. And I have spare radios here that I have bought that just so I would know about them. Anyway, back to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
All right, Chris. Well, he who dies with the most radios wins. Isn't that how the game is played? And I think you've gotten many of us beat. If not, you're still having fun with them, I think. I am going to bring the net to an end. I want to remind you all that we meet here every Monday night at 7:30 Central Time, and we cover all things fusion. Thanks for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming use of the room. This is Chuck, K0-4K, and everyone have a great week. 7-3, all.
And this concludes the January 30th, 2023 edition of the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Technical Net. We hold the net every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, evening, of course. And that's held in room 21493. Or YSF 21493. Visit hamoperator.com for more information. 7-3 from all the net control stations.